Is your business plan very unclear and you're tirelessly working at a low-paying career? Let's help you get out of the rut and let go of the fear. It's time to excel into the million-dollar stratosphere. Now, here's your host of The Balanced Millionaire, who will take you there, Eileen Mendel.
My name is Eileen Mendel, and I'm your host of The Balanced Millionaire. I have today with me two very special guests. I have my guest co-host, which is A.J. Matta, and he's going to be one of our guests today, telling about how he works with our company. And I also have Sherry Blair, a financial advisor and owner of Sherry Blair Financial. On this show, you'll learn from industry experts on how to catapult your business, as well as effectively get the financial resources that are available to help you with your business needs. Without further delay, let me share with you about our first guest, A.J. Matta. A.J. has an extensive and very successful financial services resume with over 40 plus years combined sales and marketing expertise. That knowledge provided the perfect launch pad to creating their spiritually raw brand and media success. AJ was born into Eastern philosophies and raised with Western ideologies, providing the perfect cocktail for blending his evolved intuition with tenacious leadership and business skills. With his high level of optimism and self-confidence, he is a renowned, charismatic leader and highly sought after business executive, entrepreneur, and media personality. He is author of Spiritually Raw Secrets to the Grand Slam Interview, Hit It Out of the Park Every Time, it's the name of the book, and Spiritually Raw Secrets to Your Own Blockbuster Radio Show, A to Z Formula for Success. So here he is, AJ. Welcome, AJ.
Oh, that was awesome. I felt like a real wave of like a crowd, like doing a wave or something like that. That was awesome. Thank you for the introduction.
Oh, you're welcome. So, AJ, tell us about your background and why you decided to work in this field.
So I was in the financial services industry for quite a while, and I'm 47 years old, and I was in the financial services industry for a while, and really in the insurance and mortgage side of everything. And, you know, did really super well with that. Had over 50 agents working in my network and working with me. And realized that back in 2009 that, you know, the internet's starting to happen here. The internet's starting to really become more prevalent. And, you know, we can no longer do business the way that we're doing it right now. And we can no longer do the way that people conduct business, which is like that whole handshake or going to those meetings. It's not gonna sustain anymore. So, you know, I felt like I needed to be able to say, okay, well, look, we're going to have to get into something that's in the internet. So that's where we started to look into what the internet had to offer and what the internet had to offer and how we could play into that factor in it, that how could we take our product or our services or whatever that product and service may be and translate it so we can market it to, you know, the masses and not just be in like our county or our city or if you would. So that's why we started this whole concept, if you would, of just really just trying to get out there.
So that was kind of a revelation early on in this whole transition from going from face-to-face handshake, you know, calling people, seeing people in person to, wow, you know, everything's going online. So how did you go about getting into these new platforms so that you can transition a business into this online mode?
A lot of time and a lot of money, Eileen. So what happened was is that we took a couple of years to really try to figure out what was the best platform, what was going to be the thing that worked for us. Because, again, remember, where I came from, was everything was face-to-face. Everything was face-to-face. So if you weren't doing business with a client face-to-face, then you weren't doing business anymore. So I had to retrain my brain. I had to retrain my whole thinking to be able to say, okay, well, you know, now I got to work in a way to translate my skill set with people that may or may not ever meet me in their life, if you would. So that took a little bit of time, but we did the research and we found out that, you know, hey, this does work and it is so much more effective. It's so much more efficient for people to work on the internet and because they can be able to reach out to people, you know, in different places that they never thought they would ever reach before. And that is such a beautiful thing. And the fact that you can actually get people that will be customers with you or clients with you, however you want to title them, is an amazing thing that you'll never meet before. It's such a beautiful thing, Eileen.
So you tested which platforms and which ones did you find were the best platforms for business people to meet other to meet customers or referrals or or even gain some intelligence. Which platforms turned out to be the best and which ones did you just like throw out?
So what happened was we were doing Facebook like everybody else does, right? So we were doing Facebook forever, and we did that for a couple of years, and Facebook, and Twitter, and whatever, blah, blah, blah. And then one day, April said to me, she goes, hey, Jay, we got this LinkedIn account. And I'm like, what is that? And she's like, I don't know, we have it, we set it up. She's like, but all of these people are connecting with us. And she's like, I'm going to start sending them out some information and see how they respond to this. And next thing you know, a year later, out of that one LinkedIn account that I never knew we even had, we had over 150 clients that responded back and actually became clients of us via this LinkedIn that we never knew we had. So LinkedIn, in my opinion, as a business person, if you're dealing with business to business, if you would, or even business to consumer, you know, it really it's where that world is, because these are the way and the reason being is what I found out is that the way they scrub their profiles and the way they make sure they validate the profiles, they're so legitimate. So it does make it a lot easier. So when the right people are wanting to talk to you, they're actually, I mean, these are real conversations that you're going to have with people. It's amazing. It's not like, oh, here's where I'm going on my vacation. They're all about business and they all want to know about how can you help me or how can I go to the next level? And that's what people are striving for right now. It cuts to the fluff. And so LinkedIn is what I found out to be, in my opinion, as of today, is the most effective tool for people to be able to succeed right now.
So can you explain a little further how you use LinkedIn to reach your customer and to get that qualified lead and actually work on closing that sale, getting that customer engaged, a prospective customer engaged? Can you just go through a little bit with what that's all about?
Step one, what happens is they work with April, which is, again, we talked about April, my wife there, and she actually will talk to the client or the potential client and write a commercially desirable profile to make sure that when the right people are looking at them, they understand clearly what the message is, because that's the most important thing. People put all of these connections or all the stuff right there, but their story doesn't make sense all the time. April's job is to make sure that the story makes sense. So that's step one. Step two, what happens is then it goes to our social media director, James. And what he does is he gets the targeted connection. So let's say, for example, you're an author and you're saying, okay, well, I want to be able to get interviews on different shows. And I'm a self-help author. Or I'm a financial services author. He will target market those shows for you. Step three, what happens is I actually spend time with the people before they go on the shows, and I make sure that they're ready for the shows. I practice. We do role playing with them. That's the process. So, you know, because we all believe this is that everybody has luck, but the definition of luck is when preparation and opportunity meet. We'll create the opportunity. And our job is also to make sure you're prepared.
That's absolutely true. I find that myself time and time again. So the best way for an author service provider is to use the LinkedIn. And would that be to get on podcasts and shows, or what other things can you do for them?
Well, the first step is to get an on as many shows as they can get. So if you're an author, right now, or if you're a service provider trying to promote your product, whether you're a consultant or whatever you may be, the best your best strategy right now is to get on as many shows on as many like and I want to stress the word like-minded, or the phrase like-minded, if you would. You want to get on as many of these like-minded shows as possible. That's how you get your audience, because now you're doing seminars, you're doing virtual workshops. You're literally talking to hundreds or maybe possibly thousands of people. That's your most effective tool to be able to promote yourself. If you take a look at major media right now, you take a look at the Ellen DeGeneres show, you take a look at Oprah Winfrey's show, you take a look at Dr. Phil's show, you take a look at all of these different major networks, people are always on their shows promoting something. You'll want to do the same thing. You want to go on these shows and promote yourself is how you want to do it. And you want to make sure they're like-minded and you have their audience.
Okay. So,
and what our job is we make sure that their audience is targeted, meaning that, for example, if you're a financial services professional, maybe you don't want to be on a sports related show. You know what I mean? So we want to make sure you're on financial services related shows, if you would. You want to go in that direction. That's what we do very well.
Exactly. So that actually is helping. You're helping the client hone in on what are the key things that their audience is looking for, and then helping them find that audience or that potential client that has been searching for them all along. You're just making it easier for them to find you by reaching out to them. Is that right?
We're the people that fit into your plans, because let me tell you why. Because what happens is people do all this stuff all day long, Eileen. They say, okay, well, let me run a Facebook ad. Let me put a blog up. Let me put a post up. Let me see how many people like me, kind of stuff like that. How's that working out? It doesn't, okay? Our job is to get you directly to the person that you want to talk to. And that's exactly how we operate. We want to make sure that you are directly contacted with that person. We want to make sure you have a direct communication with that person. We want to make sure that you have a direct ability to be able to relay your product and service with that person. We cut through all the stuff and all the, lack of better term, BS, if you would. So get all that stuff out of the way and get them right to who they need to talk to. That's our job.
It sounds to me like more of like a laser beam approach rather than, you know, the searchlight approach that everyone's taking, like, where's my customer, try this, try that, and just broadly getting, targeting everybody. You're going right there and putting a laser beam on the correct targets, the correct people who are interested in that particular topic and that area that, the service provider can offer.
Would you be mad if I stole that line, the laser beam approach? Because I like that. I'm going to use that.
No, I'm not mad. It just came to my mind that's what that's all about.
Well, I'm going to steal that from you. Okay, but that's exactly what we do. We're a laser beam approach. We're not, listen, lead, follow, or get out of the way. We're all about the get rid of the fluff and get right to the person you need to talk to and just talk to them. That's all it's about. Because ultimately, people want to do and get to where we're getting them to, which is talking to their potential client or their network partner.
Now, a lot of people don't know how to even approach a prospective client. They'll start selling their product right off the bat. In terms of how you make that engagement without being salesy, can you kind of address that? How do you do it without being too salesy or pushy?
Well, number one, you want to have a conversation. So, for example, just before we had this call today, I was working with a client and we were just having this exact same conversation because he has a lot of people that are wanting to talk to him. He doesn't know how to approach them. So and the best thing I can always tell people is that you want to talk to your potential client as if they're your best friend. If you ever feel like you're selling, which everybody gets into sales mode. But if you ever feel like you're selling, you need to stop and start over immediately. And don't be afraid to say to the potential client, hey, do you mind if I stop and start over? If you're not talking to that person like you're talking to your best friend, your mother, your father, your brother, your sister, then you need to stop and start over because something's wrong there because you're pushing too hard. This should be a very natural conversation. It really should be. Because if people are calling you or contacting you about what you're looking for and you have a solution to what they need, then it should just be a very natural conversation. So stop with the selling part of it and just really talk about it. That's what I recommend to people. Talk to them as if they're your best friend in the world. And if they're not, then you need to stop and start over.
Now, again, you know, LinkedIn or online interaction is usually very impersonal. So I understand, you know, you're trying to get to know them. How many conversations do you have in general before a deal is closed, before you make a sale?
Generally, you want to plan on about 3 to 4 conversations with the internet. Like most people generally think about 3 to 4 conversations. Some people think about 7 to 8 conversations. I say if you approach it with the way of, as I just shared with you earlier, Eileen, is that if you approach it as if they're your best friend and you're talking to them naturally, it's going to cut down the whole thing. If you don't and you go through a very traditional sales process, it could take up to 8 to 9 to 10 times before they even get to a customer. But if you approach them, like, again, not to sound, you know, again, you know, regurgitating it, if you would, if you approach them as if they're actually, you know, your friend and your sister, your mother, your father, it's going to cut that in half. It really is. You just got to be true and authentic with them is all it is.
Now, when you said you got 150 clients right out of the gate.
I did.
What was the time frame that, you know, you started getting, you know, let's say your first 10, 20, 30, or, you know, how did it progress in time as far as time?
The minute that April shared with me that we had a LinkedIn account and we should start marketing and let's put it out there, within the first week we got clients.
And when did the 150 total come about? Is that after 1 month or?
Oh no! Within a year.
Within a year.
I mean, yeah, within
still,
a year.
That is still phenomenal to get 150 new clients in 1 year.
Yeah. It really is, and I'm really blessed for that. I feel like we got blessed by the social media gods, if you would, or goddesses, whatever you believe in. You know, so yes, it is, and it did happen. But yes, it was within a year. But it was so consistent every week, every single week, client after client after client after client after client, literally having to hire people and bring them in to help support staff. I mean, it started happening that fast. You know, once you get the click with something, then things roll. You know, it's all a matter about that getting a click with something. You got to click on that one thing and get your competitive edge. And we found our competitive edge.
So, AJ, how do you work now? Just explain to the audience, the listeners out there, how do you work with companies like myself? You and I are actually partners and associates that work together so people can actually contact me to help, you know, them set this all up. Can you explain how to get in touch with either you or how to reach out so that they can get started?
If they're resonating what I'm saying right now, Eileen, then they need to contact you because, like you said, you and I are partners in this scenario. Okay, so they want to contact you. Okay, is exactly what they need to do. They want to contact you, and then you know you have the conversation with them, and then we have the conversation together, and then eventually we have the conversation together and see if, because I'm a support to your system, which is actually a, you know, business you created, but you want to have that kind of conversation with them first and to see, you know, hey, do you even think this makes sense to you? Let's talk about it. I'll talk, or my company will always talk to, you know, whomever, just to help give them anything. It's no cost to them. It doesn't cost them anything to have a chat with us ever. It doesn't. And all we're going to do is lay out a strategy. And if it makes sense to them, it makes sense to them. If it doesn't, then we wish them well. There's nothing more, nothing less.
That's great. And yes, if you do want to go ahead and use LinkedIn to target your clients and bring in more qualified leads, get in touch with me at the InnerEdgeInternational.com or call my number, and it's 760-450-6133, or text me and let me know that. Meantime, AJ, is there anything else that you'd like to add to this conversation?
I think that the only thing I would say to you is the biggest mistake that most business people make on the internet right now is they don't treat it like a proper business, Eileen, is the biggest thing. It's like, if you, okay, imagine if you were a business and we didn't have the internet and you were trying to set up this business, but you had to rent a store, you had to get the electricity and all that stuff, and you had to pay those bills, you would treat it properly. You would really treat it properly. You would budget it. You would put together a plan for it. Most people don't do those things. They think the internet is just going to be a magic solution for them. You want to treat it the same way as you would a proper business, because it truly is a proper business. That's what I would say to people, is that if you're going to get on the internet marketing world and you're going to do this and you're going to market on the internet, treat it like you would any other business. Treat it as like you have a storefront. Treat it like you have an advertising cost. Treat it as like you have operational expenses, and do it that way. If you're not, then I would say, then don't do it at all and go back to what you're doing right now.
Very, very good advice, because you and I both know a lot of people that are throwing a lot of money and a lot of time at the internet and not getting the results.
So, absolutely. And again, my experience is because they treat it like it's not really a real business because it's the internet. However, though, it is more real than you can ever know, because that is the new wave of our evolution, and that is our new future. It really is.
Well, thank you very much, AJ, for being my guest today, as well as you're going to be my co-host when Sherry Woo-hoo! Comes on. So, everyone, we're going to actually, we hope you enjoyed this segment. We're going to take a quick break and then hear a word from our sponsors. And you don't want to miss our next guest. So hang on. We'll be right back.
Former highly paid corporate insider and expert in scaling businesses for over three decades, Eileen Mendel is a serial entrepreneur, business consultant, renowned speaker, and author. Tune into The Balanced Millionaire on bbsradio.com weekly on Tuesdays at 6 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Central, and 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time to learn the secrets to working fewer hours and achieving financial breakthroughs, increased revenue, and prosperity while maintaining personal and professional balance and harmony. You can also hear us on iTunes, Google Play, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, and Spotify. To schedule a private consultation about your business, call or text 760-450-6133 or visit InnerEdgeInternational.com. 760-450-6133 or visit InnerEdgeInternational.com.
How confident are you that you'll have enough money to retire when the time comes? Your financial future may be at risk and you don't even know it. Hi, I'm Sherry Blair, financial advisor, and helping you meet your financial goals is important to me. Let me help you make smarter financial decisions that can help keep your money safe and growing and there when you need it. Call me for your free, no obligation consultation or a second opinion. 619-997-0416.
California license number 0B42369 is registered with and securities are offered through Brokers International Financial Services, LLC. Brokers International Financial Services, LLC is not an affiliated company.
Hello, everyone. I'm Eileen Mendel, and I have my co-host, AJ Matta. Say hi, AJ.
Hello, AJ. How are you?
Silly. And I have a guest today that is very astute about financial, how to, a business person can save money as well as make money as a business owner through various financial tools. And my guest today is Sherry Blair from Sherry Blair Financial. Let me tell you a little bit about Sherry. Welcome, Sherry, by the way. Welcome.
Hi, Eileen. How are you?
Hi, fine. Thanks for joining us today.
I'm very excited. Yeah. Okay.
Sherry has been serving entrepreneurs and business owners in the financial service industry for over two decades, particularly focusing on empowering women. Being the only girl of six siblings from a young age, she found that she had to outperform her brothers to be seen as an equal in the eyes of her family. After all, she was just a girl. As a sensitive and kind-spirited girl, she had to constantly fight to overcome the gender inequality pervasive throughout the Midwest, where she grew up, throughout her generation. Sherry grew to appreciate the importance of financial education and independence after observing her mother lacking the understanding of fundamental financial decisions. Sherry came to California as a young woman eager to establish herself. She studied psychology at Chapman University before working in real estate, overseeing clients' portfolios. Through hard work and dedication, she was promoted to asset manager, where she continued to grow her expertise in business. Sherry moved from Newport Beach to San Diego with her baby, Tovia, after separating from her husband. With her experience, she joined MetLife Financial Services as a financial advisor. She received training from leaders in the industry before discovering her passion to serve women. It was then that she presented informative seminars to educate and advance her clients' financial literacy. Sherry encouraged women to develop their financial confidence and build their muscle so that they could flex it whenever needed. As a single mother, she never lost sight of her financial independence and strived to promote this with other women. Along the way, Sherry has earned recognition as a leader in the field, winning multiple awards for her services. She remains client-centered practice, has a client-centered practice, understanding their needs come first. It's important to Sherry to develop relationships with her clients that are steeped in trust. She makes sure they always know their options and actively participate in the planning process. Sherry believes there are no stupid questions and has dedicated life to teaching financial literacy to all. She remarried in 2008, lives in Cardiff now with her husband, Michael DePriest, and her son, Tovia, who is preparing to go to medical school. She's an avid runner. She's running races with her beloved dog, Rocky. Additionally, she finds pleasure in walking along the beach, listening to podcasts, and jumps into Zumba classes when she has the opportunity. Sherry has begun her next adventures as a co-host in the podcast Change It Up on CBQ Radio and is preparing to launch a podcast series aimed at educating women to develop their financial literacy so they too can confidently approach their finances. She likes to say, quote, "You must value your future comfort as much as you value your comfort today." With that, welcome, Sherry. And Sherry, give us a little bit more about some of the things that you like to do for business owners and executives to help them to save money and grow their money as well.
Okay, Eileen. And hello again. So, yes, that was a mouthful, wasn't it?
yes, you have quite a lot.
That's a lot. Anyway. I wanted to talk a little bit, you know, about instead of focusing when we're talking about business owners, entrepreneurs, instead of focusing at, from a financial advisor or financial planner's perspective on someone's rates of returns or how to create the right kind of portfolio, which like you were suggesting, what are we going to talk about to keep the money, right? Because we know that we know that there are a lot of challenges when you have your own business and keeping that money, because that's the biggest thing, right?
Right.
Yeah. So, you know, you want to, because there's taxes, there's regulations, you have employees, you may have employees, there's FICA, which is the federal insurance contributions, there's your social security costs, which is Medicare, and it can go on and on. So we believe, those of us that are in the industry and the people I work with closely, that entity planning is the most important thing. So you want to plan, you know, do planning around your entity. And because a self-employed person, you know, if you're self-employed or if you're sole proprietor, the tax that you're going to pay you're going to be responsible for the entire FICA percent, which is 15.3 now. And that's 12.4 is what you pay as being self-employed. And there's an additional 2.9 for Medicare. So together, that's 15.3%, which is, and that's taxed on your earnings. That's a lot. That's really a lot. So, you know, as we know, this year, so in 2018, that first $180,000, almost $130,000, you're going to have to pay tax on. Anything above and beyond that is you're not going to have to, you're not going to have that FICA tax on. So, you know, I wanted to talk a little bit about, so if you do some entity planning, so how you could save some money, like for instance, if you haven't already developed like your own company, your own S Corp or an LLC or some kind of a partnership or even a C Corp, first of all, this will help you with, let's say, liability, protect you from your personal assets, and provide pass through opportunities to pass through so you can lower your tax consequences, particularly your FICA tax consequences, which is what we're talking about right now. So can I give you an example, Eileen?
Yes, give me an example. And at what stage in the business, I know they have to set up the structure first, but at what stage, how much, you know, when they're making how much money, like when they're at the $100,000 point or whatever, when do they start like really getting concerned about taxes and, you know, how to, you know, structure, you know, how to put things into place so that their employees also are protected, like, you know, say plans for the employees as well as for themselves.
Sure.
You know,
sure.
Let us know, you know, more about that. Yes. Give us an example.
Okay. Well, first of all, I would say you'd want to be over that 100,000 mark, because remember I said just this year in 2018, it's, you know, once you're past that 130,000, that's when you can get the reduction for the FICA, you know, in terms of the Social Security tax and Medicare tax. Right. So anyway, but once you hit that mark, and depending on what your, let's say your projections are, your plans are, you know, in terms of your planning for, you know, setting up this business, you know, your business, Jay was talking a little bit, I love what he was sharing, but he was talking about just like, you know, when you put a plan together, you know, you've got a follow-up plan. And he was saying, even if your planning has to do with this, you know, internet marketing and so on and so forth, you have to work that as well. Well, you have to work a plan. So if you've hit a number, you know, a certain number you've set for yourself, and you say, well, when I get there, I'm definitely going to incorporate or, you know, change my status here. So, but I wanted to give you an example of how that can affect in terms of the taxes, just the FICA taxes, what we pay for, once again, Social Security and Medicare, right? So if somebody is, if you're a sole proprietor and you're earning a couple $100,000 a year versus, you know, incorporating and to an S corp, let's say, and we're going to pick the number $200,000. So we know right off the top, $125,000 or so, you know, you're going to have $75,000 is going to go off and it's going to be W-2'd. Okay. You're going to get the W-2. So anything from, so the other $125,000, you're not going to have to pay the FICA on. Okay. So it's not going to be subject, and then after you hit $71,300, whatever, you're not going to be subject anymore to the Medicare, although Medicare does go on. no matter how much you're earning. But anyway, on this example right here of $75,000, you've W-2'd yourself, okay?
Yes.
You will have to pay that 15.3 because of the FICA, because you're paying your employee and the employer and the employee side, whatever. So you'll actually, if you subtract or you subtract it out of 75 to 53,500, you've saved $82,600, almost $10,000 in that example. So I would say by the time that a business owner is hitting that kind of an income, and depending on what their what their plans are in terms of projecting out in the future, they need to be seriously considering becoming incorporated, or setting up a company, because they have this opportunity to pass through earnings. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So anyway, go ahead.
Well, as far as employees, what if they don't want to pay a lot of taxes? Let's say you have some vice presidents or high-level people working with you. Is there something that they can do also because you're the owner, there's different things you can do as an owner versus an employee. So if you want to make an employee happy and help them set something up, what would that be?
Yes, of course. And this is you walked right exactly into the next thing that I was going to talk about. So you want to set up some kind of, let's say, profit sharing plan. Okay. So there's different kind of profit sharing plans, obviously, and different ways you can do that. Obviously a profit sharing plan, let's just say it's like a 401k, or even if you're a single business owner, you could do a solo 401k. All right. So if you have a vice president or a highly paid employee, and you want to, want to share the benefits with them and the profits with them, if you're going to look at setting something up like a 401k. You could also do some kind of defined contribution plans for them. You can do defined benefit plans. You can get into some even more sophisticated kind of planning, which involves, other vehicles and tools in the financial service industry. But, it's important to, I believe it's important to start with something like some kind of a profit sharing plan. And then you can take a look at, obviously, how much they contribute and how much more do you want to offer them. On a profit sharing plan, let's see, I wanted to share some thoughts about some profit sharing plans and how.
I had a quick question for you, because a lot of times I run into businesses that are husband and wife owned. And I know, AJ, you started your business with your wife. What if one person, if they're 50-50 owners, can they both have the solo 401k? How does that work when your husband
and
wife?
Yes, you can. You can do a solo 401k. So it's obviously one, but if you have two or three employees, so if it's a husband and wife business and they just might have one or two employees, yes, you can do a 401k with just two or three employees. And obviously just one. Uh-huh. Yes, you can.
Because we also have situations, and they're going to be on one of my next shows, where two brothers, are sharing a business. Again, I believe it's 50-50. So they're not married, but they're partners in the business. Is that true also? As long as they're 50-50, they can do a solo? Or how does that work?
Well, it's not going to be, a solo obviously means just the one, but you can also, a 401k plans can be tailored with just two people. Yes, absolutely, in partners. But you might want to take a look at if it's just the two brothers, and, I don't know what kind of employees they have or if they have employees. You can do other kind of planning to lower your income, right? You know, I mean, if you're incorporated and you're passing through earnings, so you've got a W-2 and you're going to use your W-2, and that's, you know, you're going to get pay in the earnings, or your, the earnings will go into your, obviously your W-2, and then you could put them into your 401k, and that will reduce your earnings, right? So it's a salary reduction. But anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was going to ask you, so as far as, can you give us proportions of, let's say a business owner wants to pay themselves, let's say $100,000, you know, they're making 200, but they only want to pay themselves 100, and can they sock, what are the limits where they could sock the rest away to, into a 401k or a SEP plan or whatever? Is it, what, how do you figure out the proportions, or does it depend on each situation?
Well, it does depend. It absolutely depends, and it depends on the plan. But for instance, in a 401k, you know, and this changes every year, right? So in 2018, in a 401k, you could put up to $18,500 away. So, and if you're over 50 years old, you can add another $6,000 to that, right?
Right.
So just in a 401k, you can, you're talking about it reducing your salary, or, you know, moving your salary down by, what are the numbers? What I have? 24,000?
Yeah. 500, yeah.
Or 20, yeah. Yeah. Or, you know, 24.
Yeah.
No, 1,000.
That's a pretty good chunk to sock away a year.
Because if you, like in my example, I was talking about, if you had 200,000 and you had, you're passing through on the corporate side, an S Corp, 125,000, and you take 75,000 as a, on a W-2, and then you're able to lower your, you're able to, you're over 50, and you're able to take almost $25,000, almost $25,000 in a salary reduction through a 401k. So your income is what? You're taking your income down to just a little over 50. I mean, that can be significant when it comes, I mean, when you're paying, obviously when we pay taxes and we're wanting to save the money, we're wanting to keep the money. That's what this is all about, right? It's your business. You put all, you know, you develop this, and, you know, instead of working for another company and giving that, you know, let's say another big, larger company, and giving a lot of your money away to them, the whole idea is that you can have your own company, you can develop, you can be creative and do your own thing, like Jay was sharing, and then you get to keep as much as possible. So there's no reason not to become incorporated. It's today, it's really silly with the pass through, you know, pass through earnings. And, you know, particularly even with the new tax law changes, that's going to make a difference too. That's going to make a very big difference. Yeah. So, you know, any business owner should be, I would say, if you have benchmarks. So if your benchmarks, it's like, if I hit 100, we're going to take a look at this, or 125, 150, you should be incorporating. You really should. Yeah.
So tell us a little bit more about your business. And you said you're directing a lot of your efforts toward helping women.
Right.
How can women business owners benefit from your services? How do you go about, you know, working with women that makes you, differentiates you from other financial advisors?
Well, number one, when I am working, obviously, with women, because so many of the financial advisors that I know and seen and been around, and the companies and corporations I've been around, are predominantly male. So the fact that I'm like them, the same gender, oftentimes they could be a single mom, you know, divorced, you know, had some or similar some of, you know, the same kind of struggles that I might have had or experiences that I might have had. So just right there, the fact that I'm in the industry and this is what I do, and we connect on that level. And I think that women, we do business differently than men for the most part. I mean, women are all about relationships. We connect there has to be usually some kind of a relationship that is established or gets established. Whether you find each other through the internet or, you know, something like that, there's still going to be a relationship that builds a connection there. And I believe that is my strongest suit. My strongest quality is developing and building strong relationships with women.
Can you guys give us an example of a case where you actually, you know, you found the client was like really lost and you were able to get them on track?
Sure. And in fact, I've had a lot of women clients like that. you know, women that have been either married in a partnership and then they become a widow, or, you know, there's a divorce, you know, or something happens where they have to, maybe before they weren't taking care of the house, they weren't what I like to call the CFO of the household, okay? Or even the CFO of the business, a lot of times in, you know, family-run businesses, okay? So then all of a sudden, or, you know, like I said, something happens to their partner, to their spouse that is, and then they're left out, they feel left out in the cold, so to speak. In other words, and it's not necessarily their fault or, you know, their spouse's or partner's fault. I think what happens is that what I've seen is that it, you know, when people get together it happens in businesses, right? So you go into business and everybody has their own role. You do have a CFO. You have someone that manages over here. You have somebody that's doing this, that's doing the development, you know, and the creative part of it and those kind of things. And then you have somebody that's administrating all these things. Everyone has a different hat. And then, you know, and particularly, but in a small business, and even in the couples, if you haven't had, you know, if you're not doing a particular function, you're not really going to be keeping yourself abreast about those matters or the, you know, that area. So in other words, like in finance, so if somebody's handling the financial matters, you know, and they know about the new tax changes and how that they, you know, how they can benefit using some of those things to benefit, you know, their company, their structure more and things like that. Somebody that's not doing that's not going to pay attention to that, right? So that's what happens is they fall behind. Is that person falls behind, and then all of a sudden this other person that handled it all the time is gone. And so that person, the wife, which I've seen widows and divorced women come to me and they're devastated. And sometimes they're very frightened and scared. I've had them tell me that, you know, they were looking for another advisor because financial advisor because they're, you know, they didn't want to go to quote their husband's advisor, you know, because that was his advisor. And when she went there, he never addressed her. He never asked her what was important to her about their money or how they wanted or how she saw they wanted, you know, they would want their money to be taken care of if something happened to the both of them, so on and so forth. So she, you know, I've been told that, you know, by these women, they just said, you know, several, and I've read about these kind of things as well. It's you know, a lot of other advisors that I've talked to said they've lost women clients this way too. but it's the man, they don't feel like they're being really addressed or recognized. And they come in and they're scared and they're frightened. They feel left behind, or they are left behind because the financial responsibility was delegated to this other one that took it and ran with it. And so maybe decades later, they're sitting there, with the information or the knowledge they had when they came into the marriage or the relationship. And they're, so they're very scared. So yes, I've had clients like that. And I believe that sometimes they have become my best clients. Slowly but surely, we work together, we build, I talk about that, financial or that confident, financial confident muscle. Because it's not that they're not able to understand it or anything like that. It's just that they haven't taken the time. And consequently, they might have shame around that or whatever, fear around that, whatever bad feelings they might have that keep them from moving forward. So I believe that my psychology background helps me with that or has helped me with that. And I work with them on that level, and they slowly come up to a point where they're understanding, they're making decisions, they're confident. They walk in my office with confidence. I see them out socially, and they're doing great. I'm invited to, I've had some clients because they're so happy with things, just bring me into their worlds and their life. And want to introduce me to their friends, other women they know, their neighbors, because I help them so much.
Well, Sherry, what I'm thinking is you are the person who holds that woman's hand, and it could even be a male spouse. It could be the opposite way because you work with men as well.
Sure.
To hold their hand. To get them back on track, even if there's a loss, their spouse or the other key member of their firm partner, you get them back on track and get them back to where they can get into a place where they have a handle on what's going on and they take full responsibility. For instance, I know a number of widows that you have just, like you've just described, where the husband left them kind of, they didn't know what was going on with the business or very little, and they had to get up to speed very, very quickly. So that sounds like what you do. You help them get up to speed very quickly so either they can take over the company or they can sell the company or get the company ready for sale. So you give them the confidence, like you mentioned, to get themselves on the ground again and getting to the next level of whatever they want to do with the company. If they want to take over and take the commanding seat, you help them, and you're there for them. You're the kind of the support that they can rely on.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. That's what I do. And I'm there all the way through. And I, watching them, grow and evolve. It's a wonderful thing to experience. It really is. It truly is. And you made a point, when you said when you talked about knowing widows or of these widows from that have from there's gone through these kind of experiences. What I like to tell people is, this is not a time. When you're grieving, that you want to have to come up to speed on all this knowledge and information as well. I mean, sometimes people have no choice, but it is difficult. And I think that's one of the reasons why, I've been successful with women this way because, I just treat them like you were saying. I mean, like they were my mother. I wouldn't just push somebody. I wouldn't push my mother out the door and not explain these things to her after all.
So you treat them as if they're your own family.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We do. Yes. Yes. I get very close to my clients. I will say that.
So, Sherry, how can people get more information on this topic and get in touch with you?
Well, that's a good question. They can get a hold of me by calling me directly, Eileen. They can reach me at 619-997-0416. That is 619-997-0416. Or they can go to my website, which is Sherry Blair, that's C-H-E-R-I, Blair, B-L-A-I-R, SherryBlairFinancialServices.com.
Well, Sherry, thank you very much for telling us some very, very important information about how we can manage our money as business owners. And I'd like to thank both of our guests today for being here. And I hope the listeners found this information of value. And remember, if you would like to connect with me for a complimentary chat to discuss taking your company to the next level or getting the financing you need to do so, please contact me, Eileen Mendel, the Balanced Millionaire, by calling or texting me at 760-450-6133 or going to my website, www.innerageinternational.com. So that was a great show today. Thank you, everybody. And we'll see you next time.
Thank you.
Very good. Good. Great show. Thank you very much.
Sherry Blair is registered with and securities are offered through Brokers International Financial Services, LLC, member SIPC. Brokers International Financial Services, LLC is not an affiliated company. California license number 0B42369.
Thank you for tuning into The Balanced Millionaire with your host, Eileen Mendel, CEO of InnerEdge International, business consultant, multimedia marketing expert, renowned speaker and author. Connect with Eileen Mendel, The Balanced Millionaire. Increase your confidence, creativity, balance, awareness, direction, motivation, and catapult your business to the next level and beyond.